Besties.
Welcome back.
Happy New Year.
It is 2025 and it's a new year, but the same us.
Yes. We hope you had a nice holiday season.
Most definitely. And we are so excited to be back on the podcast grind with y'all.
Yes.
So this episode, we just have the two of us today. Mm-hmm. I know you're so excited to hear from the two of us once again, but we wanted to talk to you about New Year's resolutions.
Yeah.
Because obviously this is like a hot button topic and it's one that people kind of talk about every year around January, you know,
yeah.
the ethics of New Year's resolutions, the, you know, effectiveness. I think it's really important to have the conversation. And from our perspective, you know, we did a lot of research on this for our own resolutions, but also to share with you. And we found that 3 in 10 Americans made a resolution in 2024, but 62% of those people felt pressured in making resolutions.
Yeah.
And so Libby and I talk a lot about how we, you know, find that we'll say, okay, it's a new year, like we're going to put all these new things on the docket for us to accomplish this year, but it never seems to work out the way that we think it will.
Yeah, there definitely is a lot of pressure to kind of reinvent your whole self right on the first.
Exactly. And truly, most research also shows that 80% of resolutions are given up by February.
Right.
So you don't even really make it a month into the year before you've kind of dropped these resolutions. And I think there's obviously a lot of psychology behind that, like clean slate or the fresh start mentality. But the reality is there's not a lot that changes between December 31st and January 1st. It is literally like 1 minute of change and then you're in a new year.
New year, same year, babe.
Exactly. Like you're not going to reinvent the wheel in 1 second.
Yeah.
So what we really like to talk about is the idea of when you set a resolution, you want to make sure that you're coming up with something that is actually achievable.
Yeah, something realistic.
Right.
Because I think that's part of the biggest reason why they're given up by February. It wasn't really ever realistic to begin with.
Exactly. And on top of that, I think a lot of people set resolutions based on societal pressures too.
Yeah.
Not just the pressure to have that clean slate or reinvent yourself. I mean, it's not like going to get your hair cut. You're trying to change your whole lifestyle and personality with a resolution.
Yeah.
So I think what's interesting is, you know, 79% of New Year's resolutions are health-based.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that, especially in terms of, you know, those types of quote-unquote tangible resolutions where you say, okay, we're going to go to the gym 3 times a week, that's not necessarily a realistic goal because you might be on vacation or you might get sick or something else might come up.
It's like, I'm not going to eat anything with sugar or anything bad or anything at all. And it's like, there is probably some balance that would be a little more helpful.
Right. I mean, there's a reason that they say that everything is fine in moderation, right? Because as long as you are balancing things out for yourself, that's the healthiest way to do it, rather than just putting on a full restriction. Obviously, there are some special cases, but just in general. So what we both like to say is that we like more intangible resolutions, which sounds kind of counterintuitive, but I think it ultimately helps you to reach your goals. So Libby and I both worked on setting some intangible goals for this year, and we wanted to share them with all of you, but without the pressure of feeling like we have to keep something up every week or, you know, restrict ourselves from doing a certain thing every week or whatnot.
Yeah. And also I want to say too, we were talking about kind of the intention behind your resolution. So it's like, if your goal is to be healthy just to fit into a certain societal standard, it's not maybe for the right reason. It's not the right intention. You're not doing it to feel healthier.
Drinking the Kool-Aid of like a wellness culture type of thing instead of really doing it for your own physical betterment or your own health. You know, because obviously there's a lot that's linked between physical health and mental health. So, you know, you just have to do what's best for you and take out what other people think out of it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think obviously to the pressure of posting on social media what your resolutions are. I mean, there's an accountability factor, right? So you want to hold yourself accountable and you want to have people in your life hold you accountable for the things that you want to achieve.
Right.
But maybe posting on social media, hey, I'm going to go to the gym 3 times a week, hold me accountable, haha. Like that's kind of contributing to a type of restrictive resolution that is maybe not the healthiest.
Definitely.
So
yeah, why don't you start with some of your
Yeah, we also in terms of intention like to kind of call these more predictions for ourselves rather than resolutions because, you know, we can resolve to do whatever, but at the same time, we want to predict and kind of put that positive energy into the world that by the end of the year, we'll have achieved a lot of what we're working toward or at least made strides to getting there, which I think is, you know, the little work and the strides that you make are just as important as fully completing the goal.
Setting your overall intention for the year and then the actual operations that you take to get there will hopefully fall into place.
Exactly. So for me, I think my intention overall for the year is mainly to have a happier outlook on life. I consider myself a very happy person, but I will say, you know, I am a person who can be easily agitated or someone who definitely gets frustrated by the little things. And so I have resolved in true Ted Lasso fashion to be curious and not judgmental at first. So I definitely am working to, you know, if I get into a petty argument with a friend or a family member, to kind of take a step back, try and think a little bit deeper of why they're coming from the place that they're coming from, and then be curious of asking them questions, you know, why are you feeling this way? Or you seem a little bit agitated. Can we talk about that? Are you okay? Yeah. That curiosity definitely goes a long way and can squash a lot of your heartache at the source, I think.
Yeah.
So that's my overall intention for the year, yes. But on that, kind of my smaller little things that I want to do to get there, because I think, you know, when you set an intention, right? But you need to have a little bit of a game plan, even if it's not necessarily super tangible, just something that you can say, okay, I'm going to work on these types of things to kind of get to where I want to be. So for me, I am looking forward to, one, reading a lot of books this year. I have set a goal of 100 books this year, which I know is lofty, but my thing is I also set that with the intention of not reaching it, but trying to push myself to read as much as I can.
Sure.
So that's another one where it's like, instead of saying read more books, I'm just like, read 100 books. And then if I don't necessarily get there, I'm not going to fault myself for it.
Sure.
So that's one, because I love to read. It makes me very happy. I would love to also go on some more vacations this year, take some time for myself. I think, you know, even my parents sat me down the other day to show me a news segment about workaholics. And I was like, wow, what are you guys trying to tell me? So I think, you know, trying to take some time to spend with my friends, with my family, you know, going out of town and visiting my family that's not here, or my friends that aren't here. I think that's definitely a big one for me this year. Additionally, something that brings me a lot of joy is choreographing shows and being in shows. So I put as one of my goals that I want to choreograph more this year and be in some musicals this year. So hopefully we'll see how that goes. I'm working on choreographing a couple right now, so that part of it is good on my list. And then finally, this one's a little silly, but I would love to meet a celebrity or a role model that I really look up to and see if I can just kind of talk to them a little bit about their experiences and their lives. It doesn't necessarily have to be the Sebastian Stan or Lupita Nyong'o of my dreams, but it could just be somebody who I have admired in any type of field and just get the chance to sit down with them and talk with them. So I'm looking forward to that.
You're manifesting it.
I'm manifesting it, you guys.
Taking it into existence. Yeah. And we love that.
So those are kind of my personal intentions for the year. Libby, what about you?
So I think my kind of overarching intention is that I want to just this time next year be in a better spot financially. Mm-hmm. And I don't think, you know, you need the specifics or like the tangible like aspects of that. But I think just in a better spot, whatever that means, because I think that's always something unpredictable. You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So I don't want to live the whole year with a ton of pressure surrounding that.
Well,
and every move that you make, like
even just bringing something to the forefront of your mind, like being conscious of it, like that is completing and setting that goal.
Yeah.
For sure.
So whatever that looks like to me next year, I will be happy with that.
I love that.
Some of my little things that I would like to do this year, my lease will end this year with Riley.
Hey guys.
Which is bittersweet, of course.
Of course.
But finding a new place will be on my list of things, and to move in with my boyfriend, which will be super exciting to have that journey. Also on my list is a new couch to go perfectly in the new place. But, you know, that will be a big purchase, and I hope it's one that can stick around. A couch feels very sentimental for me.
Yeah, definitely.
Just because so many memories get made there. So yeah. I'm looking forward to that this year. A little goal that I have for myself, I would love to play the oboe again. I haven't played since right after high school when I was 18. So I'm now 23, so it's been a few years, and that's definitely something I'm still very passionate about, but it's not necessarily accessible to me at this time. But I'm hoping that I can find a way this year. So kind of working on that.
Yeah, for sure.
That will bring me a lot of joy.
Definitely.
Other things that will bring me joy. Another tattoo. Sorry, Mom. she's like, you're not done yet? I'm like, no, never.
Once you get bit by the tattoo bug.
Yeah, and I think it's been a couple years, just kind of was reflecting on that the other day. And so looking forward to some new artwork.
Yeah, for sure.
Along with that, new hair, whatever that means. I used to always color my hair, and anyone who does that knows that when you're bleaching and doing that causes a lot of damage. And so I was kind of unable to continue that without damaging my hair. So I've been letting it grow out, just my natural color, but I'm looking forward to getting that back again.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
Doing something fun and funky.
Yeah, stay tuned on social media to see Libby's new hair, everybody.
And then my other one, I would also love to go on a vacation or trip or something.
Yeah.
Whatever that looks like.
We need a little rest.
Yeah. Just something nice for myself.
But this year, we also know that everybody is really tuned in to what's going on in the pop culture scene.
Definitely.
So we have been talking about our personal predictions for the year for pop culture.
Yes.
So we have a couple different categories, and we picked, of course, you know, Libby and I never stop yapping. So we have 1,000,007 predictions this year.
Yeah, but we made the bingo boards.
Yes, we did make the bingo boards, for sure.
So when we're like, this isn't on our 2025 bingo board, we made an actual bingo board.
Yeah, it's not just the saying, we literally did it. So we put together what we think are our top predictions for each one of these pop culture categories. So let's start with music.
Interesting.
So this one is a little interesting, but obviously Taylor Swift is coming off of the Eras Tour, and mm-hmm. you know, everyone's been speculating that she's going to be engaged to Travis Kelce this year and all this, that, and the other with their relationship. But I think in terms of her career, I think what would be interesting is her doing holographic concerts.
Okay,
so this is kind of controversial, but we've seen a lot of artists do holographic concerts, and I actually got to see one when I went to see Queen, mm-hmm. Because it was Adam Lambert singing in place of Freddie Mercury.
Okay.
And they did a hologram of him on the stage walking mm-hmm. around, and it was really amazing. It felt like he was actually there.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of back and forth on the, you know, ethics of it, whether or not it is ethical to have this person doing it, especially if they've passed.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, as long as the family and the people closest to that person are okay with it, then who am I to make that decision for them?
Sure.
But I think genuinely, do you know how many Swifties would roll up to a holographic concert?
I can only imagine.
Like,
and
especially,
you know what? She can have a break.
Right.
Like she was booked and busy.
Yeah. She can take a little break. And I think, honestly, it would be for her. She's been looking at a lot of different ways to monetize her brand, mm-hmm. especially recently with Eras and the success coming off of that. So I think having holographic concerts for cheaper prices than Eras also, in a good way, makes it a little bit more accessible to people who want to see her.
Yeah.
It's almost kind of like watching the Eras movie, but just in person with yeah. other Swifties, you know?
It's fun, yeah.
Yeah, it's still
something
fun.
Interesting.
Yeah, so I think that's my big one for music this year, yeah. And then we're going to move on to fashion.
Yes.
And this one was on Libby's bingo board.
So you guys remember the big red boots that
Can't
were
forget them.
Just going around. I think we will have that again. Some kind of outrageous, crazy fashion choice that went as not just crazy fashion choice, because that happens every day, but that had the kind of momentum that the big red boots did.
Oh, yeah.
And interestingly, we did see a post with Nike and Lego, and they have kind of like a brick shoe that's supposed to be releasing. So who knows? That could maybe be it.
Where do the toes go?
I don't know.
I just want to know where the toes go.
But if we start seeing those all over Instagram and TikTok, we'll know.
Yes, exactly. We'll know
that,
yeah.
That's crossed off my bingo board.
Yeah, we cannot cross it off yet until it takes off. But as soon as it does, I'm rooting for you to cross that one off the bingo board. And then next, we're going to move on to internet culture. So this is kind of all encompassing with a lot of different things. So we kind of broke this down into a couple different categories. But as far as general internet culture, mm-hmm. Libby has a prediction.
I think we might see the resurfacing of Pete Davidson. Yep. He's been quiet for a little bit now, deleted
for
everything.
Too long.
Yeah, deleted everything off Instagram. It seems like SNL has been picking up some speed lately. Mm-hmm. I think they want him back.
And we've been seeing on TikTok too a lot of old clips of Pete mm-hmm. resurfacing, like the I'm Just Pete clip, the sketch he did with Rami Malek. I think there are a lot of his old media that yeah. are starting to kind of resurface, and I think it's kind of just like leading up to the return of Pete.
Yeah. So and we'd love to see it.
Yeah, bring Pete back. I want to see his body without all of his tattoos, now that he's been getting all of his tattoos removed, and see what that Pete looks like.
I love his journey for him.
Oh, yeah.
If that's his journey, I support it.
I know.
But I just, in my heart, feel he might come back.
Yeah. He's going to come back, I think, too. And then moving on to meme culture. So this is a little bit of an overarching conversation as well, because we have a lot to say about memes in general. But Libby and I are predicting that there will be, obviously, everybody has seen or has heard of, if they've not seen, I'm looking at you, Chris Pfeiffer, Wicked, the movie. Yes, I'm going to put our executive producer on blast. Wicked took off, and there mm-hmm. were a lot of memes that came with
we
it.
We could,
you know.
Honestly, too, side note, we could make an entire episode about Wicked.
Oh, we really could. We really could. Chris would probably cry.
Like, multiple at this point. Like, oh, we yeah. could take every scene and digest
Libby and I
it.
Saw it in theaters 7 times, and we also downloaded the version on Amazon Prime the second that it came out.
How
on the 31st. The second. So we are really into it. Watch all the deleted scenes, all of that. But there were a lot of memes that came out of that. You know, Holding Space was probably the one that everyone is yes. the most familiar with. But the one that we want to talk about is the Me and Bach memes. And all of the different Bach memes, you know, you saw ones that were like, this is what Bach would listen to when Glinda rejects him. Or like all of this different type of stuff. But Libby is predicting.
I'm like, you guys saw this, but did they? Like, maybe it was just us.
Maybe we're just a little niche. If you haven't seen it, they actually are pretty funny. I mean, they're a little oversaturated now,
yeah.
but when they first were starting, they're really funny. And there was actually one creator who fully got famous on TikTok just for doing the craziest mouthing of Marissa Bode singing Me and Bach.
Yeah.
And it was very funny. I mean, I'm pretty sure he was able to like buy a house from those videos. So like good for him.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was a lot of content around that. So our prediction is for meme culture.
Yeah. Yes, we will see that again for part two, mm-hmm. specifically with Bach.
There just has to be. He has his own solo song in part two, not to spoil, because y'all don't know what it's about, but he has his own solo song in part two, and there's no way that they're not going to make a meme out of it.
Of course. Like,
they've got
it. It's kind of a free space, but it's
and
fair.
Ethan Slater, God love him, super easily memeable.
Yeah.
So easy.
Absolutely.
So, but this also...
Yeah, I was going to say, I want to touch back on the word that you said that oversaturation.
Yeah.
And how I think that that's kind of, you know, affecting meme culture
mm-hmm.
big time.
No, definitely. I mean, Libby and I talk about this all the time. You know, we'll see a meme, one of us that the other had seen like 2 weeks ago, and then by then it's old, you know,
mm-hmm.
and it's kind of too many people have hopped on the bandwagon of that meme trying to chase the views or the followers or the likes. And it's just,
it's always been a thing,
yeah.
but it seems now more than ever, it's moving so fast that like there's a funny meme one day, and then the next day it's like everyone's like, I'm so sick of it.
Exactly.
In one day.
Yeah.
Like kind of like Demure, which like
mm-hmm.
I love that. Love the creator.
And I think we were talking about this the other night, and I think Libby really hit the nail on the head with this point, which is almost once corporate jumps
mm-hmm.
on it, then it kind of gets
once it's corporate and everyone was sharing screenshots of their email their inbox with all the mailing lists that they're on, and every single one had Demir in the subject line.
Yes.
So it's like, as soon as it hits that, it's like, okay.
Or like we've seen, especially with award season with Ariana Grande and Cynthia Erivo up for awards, we've seen a lot of people who are, you know, big publications or big companies posting, you know, we're holding space for XYZ. And it is just too much. Mm-hmm. It's enough. Let us have meme culture. Corporate, yes. You get everything. Which, let us keep meme
culture. They've always done that, but it seems like in the previously, it would be months later, not a day, a week. Like, it just seems like it's moving very, very fast.
All these Gen Z interns are doing the work, let me tell you.
And I love that for them.
Right.
Because I would do the same thing. And we did.
And I will not lie. There have been a couple of instances of this where it has been actually really tasteful and funny.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll take that any day of the week.
It's not to say that it's bad. It's just...
You can tell when somebody is really trying to shove it in rather than, like, using it organically. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's the thing. When it feels like you're just really oversaturated mm-hmm. and it's enough, don't try to make it work.
Yeah.
Don't try to make fetch happen.
We can always tell. It's the same thing with, like, millennial writing in Gen Z.
Right.
Media.
Exactly.
Like, yeah.
You can always tell. So moving on from that, in terms of the broader social media category, mm-hmm. we are, drumroll please, predicting that Twitter is going to get shut down. Well, Twitter,
X.
Formerly
yeah.
Twitter, now X, is going to get shut down.
Right. And which is maybe controversial to bring up with everything that's happening with TikTok. And right. Maybe when this comes out, we'll know more about that.
Yeah, we do record this before it's released, so we do not have all the factors while you're listening to it, but we think that maybe X might be facing some issues, especially if something, you know, Vine was gone, then TikTok or formerly Musical.ly popped up to kind of replace that. If something pops up to replace TikTok mm-hmm. in terms of whatever's going to happen with the ban, it could mean the end for X. I mean, we've seen more and more people kind of retreating from that app mm-hmm. and so
there's
I just think
Blue Sky as well,
yeah,
which is like pretty much the same thing.
Exactly.
It seems like it's picking up traction. I don't know if it will reach that level that
or
Twitter
maybe Threads on Instagram will right. just really take the cake. Who knows?
But I'm gonna say no on that one.
Maybe that's not the prediction for 2025, but and then for social media, we also want to talk about influencers. Mm-hmm. So in that category, Libby and I are predicting.
I mean, we could make a whole list of just who would be canceled, but yeah. We won't take it there.
To spare y'all the cancel culture conversation, we will just talk about Addison Rae.
I'm saying, well, we're both saying this is going to be her year. We
this
think
is Addison Rae's year.
2025 is Addison Rae's year.
I mean, Diet Pepsi, come on.
Yeah.
Like that
Aquamarine.
Song, Aquamarine, come on. Like everything is really picking up for her, and she has made it from the cringy stages of TikTok to now like a full-fledged star.
Yeah.
And so I think it's really interesting to see her career path.
Like a rebrand that should be studied, honestly.
Yes. Honestly, like she did what JoJo Siwa could not. And
exactly.
I
JoJo Siwa wanted to do.
Exactly. Yeah. So we think that Addison Rae this year is going to not only take off, but we think part of the reason is she's going to star in a movie
mm-hmm.
and not like a cringy movie.
No. We've
not
seen
like the Dixie D'Amelio
before.
TV show yeah. type beat. No. We think she's actually going to star in a really hit blockbuster
mm-hmm.
and gain a lot of fame on the acting side for that. But
yes.
also,
I think an album.
An album.
A really good album because the songs that we've seen so far
exactly.
have really been it.
Like a brat summer, but like whatever that means to Addison mm-hmm. Rae. And then we will obviously be having an Addison Rae summer as well
yeah.
if that happens. We'll be so excited. So then in terms of television, this one pains us to say a little bit.
A little, yeah. And it also may be controversial.
Yeah, it might be controversial. But we do think yeah. that Euphoria is going to get canceled. I know they've been talking about, you know, getting back into production. Obviously, Zendaya really, from season one to this season, which would be the third season, her career took off.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, we always knew that she was a rising star. But I think in terms of scheduling, it'll be interesting for
yeah.
her to kind of do that. I mean, Sydney Sweeney
as
took
well.
Off. As
yeah.
well. Alexa Demi has been doing more projects, I think, and Jacob Elordi.
Right.
I mean, there were a lot of people who really gained a huge following from that show.
Mm-hmm.
And rightfully so. I mean, the acting in that show was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
They all were doing a great job.
And also the death in the cast.
Yes.
With Angus Cloud.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really sad.
It's really hard when outside factors like that can take down a show. But for a lot of people would be excited about the cancellation simply because there is a growing conversation of whether or not Euphoria is glorifying in an unhealthy way the use of substances, mm-hmm. especially for young people. And
I think being in high school is like the big part.
Yeah, the fact that they're like in high school is the big part.
Yeah.
And I first of all would like to remind everyone they're not actually in high school. those actors are not teenagers. But second of all, Libby and I talk about this a lot, and not to really harp on it, but I do think that Euphoria has done a really great job of showing what it would feel like for somebody to be so bogged down by substances, both the good part when it's happening to them, quote unquote good, obviously. Yeah. But then
the quote unquote fun part when you're partying. Or,
yes.
Yeah.
But then they show the
glorifying
real
part.
They show the real ramifications as mm-hmm. well. You know, the health
effects.
We see
it all with her mom,
family
her
effects.
Sister,
yes.
All of that. It's really tragic.
Mm-hmm. So I think definitely there is a case to be made for the importance of the subject matter of Euphoria. There's also a case to be made for the naysayers of Euphoria as well. But either way, we think that they're just not going to be able to pull off that third season mm-hmm. and it's going to get canceled. And I will forever be left wondering, what happened to Rue in the suitcase?
Right.
What happened? Tell me, please. So the good thing is, for us, in the actors' prediction category, Libby and I both had the same prediction, and because we made them on New Year's Eve, they already had one come true. So our actors' prediction was that Tom Holland and Zendaya would get engaged.
And we all saw that ring on her finger.
We all saw that rock.
Yes.
That was a massive ring.
The boulder.
We've seen the articles, too, about Tom asking Zendaya's dad for permission mm-hmm. and all this stuff. Like, just really cute. And, you know, Zendaya's parents have publicly talked about loving Tom Holland. And they just seem like a very unproblematic, sweet couple in Hollywood that has grown together through so
yeah.
many things.
Of course, Spider-Man, too. Like,
yeah.
so sweet.
The fact that they met on a chemistry test for Spider-Man is so cute.
Yeah.
And then now, all this time later, here they are engaged. So we can check one off the bingo board. Thank you. Now, moving on to the awards category.
Yes. So Cynthia Erivo will get the EGOT, which
we're calling
explain
it.
The EGOT.
So obviously, the award season is nuts, and there are kind of the four horsemen of the awards, which are the Emmys, the Grammys, the Oscars, and the Tonys.
And she currently only needs the Oscar.
Yep. She has an Emmy, a Grammy, and a Tony, mostly for her work in The Color Purple, which if y'all have not seen any clips of her in The Color Purple, please watch them. She is a talent, man. Like, I cannot believe how incredible this woman
yeah.
is. But truly, her work in Wicked, I will say, on the surface level, okay, like, it's a musical movie, da-da-da. But her work in Wicked, not only was she singing live,
mm-hmm.
acting the part,
mm-hmm.
doing practical makeup with green skin every single day,
yeah.
and doing her own stunts.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, that woman was literally flying through the air and belting her little heart out. Like, are
gravity.
You kidding me?
We could never.
Could never. So I honestly think she deserves to win an Oscar this year. It'll be interesting to see all of the nominees.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure we'll cover that on one of our episodes, but, you know, I'm excited to see if she will win the EGOT, but I'm putting out there into the universe that she will win.
I agree.
And finally, we want to hit on the movies category.
Yes, we have something a little different for this one.
Obviously, we are loving little segments, little bits on mm-hmm. the podcast. So we wanted to introduce a new one that we're going to be integrating into some of our episodes in 2025, which is our little hit or miss segment.
Yes.
So what this is going to be is kind of different based on our guest, and we will ask questions based on the field or anything in particular that we are talking about that day with our guest. But for today, since we're doing our 2025 predictions, we're going to be doing the 30 most anticipated movies of 2025, and we're going to rapid fire go through them,
mm-hmm.
hit or miss. Both of us will answer.
Yes.
And we'll see if we agree,
because
we have no idea how we feel.
Right. We'll see. This is going to be replacing the Roman Empire segment for today.
And some of the episodes going forward, but the Roman Empire will not be gone forever.
Forever, yes.
We promise we will not get rid of the Roman Empire totally.
I know you're all crying, weeping.
I know, right? But you can always tell us what your Roman empires are, because we love to see those.
Yes.
And for today, we thought it would be really fun, since we didn't have a guest, to have our executive producer, Chris Pfeiffer, come on.
Hello. Sorry, I'm getting over a cold right now.
Don't apologize. Okay. You're perfect.
Wait, I thought you were asking me on here to do Roman Empire.
Oh, man.
Oh, man. Okay. So we're talking about
movies. One day.
Got to rescind the contract, right? Man.
So we're talking about movies today, huh?
Yes. Today we're talking about 2025 anticipated movies.
Right. Well, there's 30 of them here.
This is actually the list from Rotten Tomatoes, most anticipated movies, because we love a little Rotten Tomatoes moment. Mm-hmm. But I did take the ones that are bigger in popularity than others and put together a list of 30. Okay. So we're going to have you name the movie title. You're going to rapid fire them, and we're going to answer.
Okay. Number one, Wolfman.
Miss.
Oh, I was going to say hit.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, next one. Hold that thought.
Held.
Love Hurts.
Hit.
Captain America, Brave New World.
Miss.
Really? Okay.
Hold that thought.
Mickey 17.
Hit.
Snow White.
Miss,
yeah. Minecraft with Jack Black.
Miss. I wish it was a hit, but miss.
Okay. Novocaine. Is that the Quaid?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
That is going to be a hit for me.
I think so, too.
Ooh, hit for me on this one. Thunderbolts.
Hit.
I'm a Marvel person, yes.
So am I.
Okay. Disney's Lilo and Stitch.
Live action, might I say, and I am conflicted.
I'm going to say hit. I think they're going to do this one right, but the concept of live action is a whole nother conversation.
I just haven't seen a live action Plea Glee, so I'm a little scared. So I'll say hit with the hope that it's a hit.
Okay. Mission Impossible. Is this the last one? It's Reckoning, right? Dead Reckoning?
Yeah, miss.
Part 25?
Yeah. Okay. I'm sick of the Mission Impossible. Miss.
We're over it.
Okay. The New Karate Kid.
Miss. So fast.
You guys are. The live action How to Train Your Dragon.
Hit.
Okay. 28 Years Later.
Hit.
Megan 2.
Miss.
I liked Megan 1. Okay.
It was funny.
Yeah, it was okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. F1.
Hit.
Yeah, okay. I see it. I think Brad Pitt will pull that one
off. It together, right? Yeah.
Jurassic World Rebirth.
Hit.
I'm going to say miss.
Okay.
Controversial.
Okay. Superman.
Hit.
Is it Superman Legacy?
Yes.
I think it is. Okay. Yeah. The Smurfs movie.
Miss.
Miss.
Yeah.
They're making another one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't think didn't anyone asked for that.
Okay. This one definitely a hit for me. Fantastic Four, First Steps.
Hit.
Okay. Saw 11.
Miss.
Tron Ares.
Miss.
No.
I'm sorry.
Oh, I love
I'm
Tron.
Sorry.
I
just am too apprehensive. I think it's going to be a miss.
See, I like the sci-fi. And I'm going to like the soundtrack probably even more because Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross are doing the soundtrack.
Yeah.
Okay. Black Phone 2.
Hit.
Mortal Kombat.
I'm going to say miss.
I want to say hit, but I'm going to say miss too.
Okay. Now You See Me 3.
Miss.
Oh, I'm going to say hit on that one.
I hope you're right, Chris.
I think so. Oh, they're making a second one? Wicked for Good.
Yes, because the first one was Act 1, and the second one is Act 2. See, Chris, I can't stand
you. It's never ending.
There's a second one?
Have you not seen a musical, sir? It is Act 1 and Act 2.
I have not seen Wicked.
Okay, so Act 1 was the first one. Act 2 is this one. Wicked for Good is going to be a hit.
Big hit.
Big hit.
Easy.
Yep.
Okay, we'll take that conversation off air. Okay, Five Nights at Freddy 2.
Hit to me.
Yeah.
Avatar, Fire and Ash.
Hit. Miss.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm scared of it.
Okay.
I'm not going to say anything. The Housemaid.
I think it's going to be a hit.
Hit.
Really? They're doing this one? Dirty Dancing 2?
Okay, this is one of the ones that we put on there, like The Housemaid, that might have a pushed release to 2026.
Yeah.
But barring any complications, I'm going to say this is going to be a miss this year.
I agree. I don't think we needed to mess with it.
No, you got Patrick Swayze and Jennifer Grey. They mm-hmm. slayed. We don't need right, anything yeah. else. It's done.
Okay. Frankenstein.
Hit.
If it's anything like Nosferatu.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say earlier with Wolfman, is that the creature feature, I think this year Nosferatu really hit the nail on the head. Like, it was perfect. Mm-hmm. But I think that Wolfman coming out so quickly after Nosferatu is going to bite it, because I don't think it's going to be that good. But I think especially in comparison to the other creature feature of Nosferatu, it's okay. not going to be that good.
Fair.
But I'm going to say for Frankenstein, there's enough time in between, and it's Guillermo del Toro. Mm-hmm. So it's either going to be really, really good or kind of insane. And mm-hmm. either way, I'm there for it.
Right.
And the cast is nuts. Yeah, I'm going to say it's a hit.
Okay. Well, that is the top 30 on your list, but I want to add one because it's been getting a lot of press, mm-hmm. and it's a Netflix movie.
Okay.
It's called The Electric State by the Russo brothers. Remember, yes. they directed some of the Marvel
things
movies.
And some of the Marvel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I can't wait to see that one. Yeah. That's going to have Millie Bobby Brown.
Yep. Stranger Things alum, Millie Bobby
Chris
Brown.
Pratt.
This should be
Pratt.
Good.
Yeah.
yeah.
I think
a lot of potential.
Good. Well, thanks for having me on.
Thanks
yes,
for coming on,
anytime.
Chris.
Anytime. I'm sitting here with you every time you record.
I know. How many times Chris has to listen to our episodes? Definitely more than... Hey, didn't love that, sir. Anyway, we are so glad that you joined us for our 2025 resolutions and predictions
yeah,
episode.
Something different.
Yeah, hopefully something a little different
you
today.
You had fun.
We will return to our regularly scheduled programming in 2025 with a couple little pop-ins from just the two of us. But thanks again for all of your listening last year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, you guys.
Don't put too much pressure on yourself.
Yeah, be gentle and kind to yourselves this year, please.
And everyone else.
Yeah. We want to thank you all for listening to today's episode. We're your hosts and producers, Libby and Riley, and our executive producer and surprise guest today is the lovely Chris Pfeiffer.
If you have any questions, comments, or you want to listen again, go to wgte.org/comeup or wherever you stream your podcast.
Bye, besties!
WGTE. Voices around us.
WGTE is supported in part by the American Rescue Plan Act funds allocated by the City of Toledo and the Lucas County Commissioners and administered by the Arts Commission.